I want to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. It's good to be here. Appreciate the songs that we have sung, and I do appreciate very much the Bible study. I don't know how many pages of notes here this morning, and I'm not very good at going by notes, so I don't have my notes in order. I'm not sure how this is going to go this morning, but the Lord has given me a burden this morning. I just think of, why are we here this morning? Why did you come to Hessen? Most of us, and I've talked to many of you, if you remember the graph I had made up here about road tradition and experience and the fundamentalist, orthodoxy. When I came here, I didn't want anything to do with fundamentalism and orthodoxy. I seen experience as being extremely important. And experience is extremely important. Very important. It is important that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But that line, if that's all we say, that line blurs in the muck. It's a vision that is not finished. It's an unfinished vision, if that's all our vision is. I think of the battle that you were talking about, the battle against worldliness. And I can walk from one side of the bench to the other, just like that, and you can see me move. But the battle from godliness, from the Spirit-filled church, to the church that is a social club is not like that. It doesn't work like that. Satan works so slowly in our own hearts, in our minds especially. You know, I was thinking about history this morning as I was sitting here, history that was made when I was still living. I remember a man by the name of Chris Stryker. He was the bishop at Mapleview Mennonite Church. And the television came in, and he decided that they're going to allow to have television, and if we don't like it, we're going to tell people to, we don't want you to have it anymore, kind of thing. Well, that's not how it was worded exactly, but it never happened. Usually very seldom when something comes into a church, very seldom is it dispersed. Very seldom, if ever. I don't know of ever in history that has happened. But the Bible says, come out from among them. And this is what these people did. If I can make a point, if I could say point A, this was Maple View Church. I'm not going to say any other churches, but there's a church, and I know of some of you might know the two brothers. They were twin brothers. When they said we're going to allow TV, they said we don't want that. We're going to leave this church. They joined another church. This church was already operating, but the person that started this church came from this church, and he was also battling against worldliness right here. So he went here, and this bishop here got caught in a sin, and he denied it. Then these two brothers started a church over here in a defeat against worldliness. And my heart today is speaking on that somewhat, because they had the same battles back then, probably 50 years ago, as we do now. They had immodesty, they had music, and they had movies. And that's why they didn't want the TV, because they had movies. But I predict that in the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, what has happened has never been seen what's going to happen. The deception that's going to come upon the world is unreal when we think of where the churches are at today. You know, back in the 1800s, they said that a woman was not to be dressed and dress herself to be seen as a gazing stock in public. And we have that in our churches today. People can come to church with with tight clothes on. And we think it's okay because this person's doing it and that person's doing it. Well, you know, when we were cursed out of the Garden of Eden, our bodies were cursed and they were naked. But they put clothes on. Jesus Christ has clothed our spirits with his blood, and it totally covers our spirits. And our bodies need to be covered in the same way. The Bible teaches a lot against nakedness, if you will. That's not my subject. But if we think of the social club here, how do I want to do this? And the spirit-filled church, suppose we could have a spiritometer, an odometer here. I'll make this green here if you can see that. But whereabouts does a church go from the spirit-filled church to the social club? I got that wrong. That should be over here. Where does it happen? When does it happen? How does it happen? It does not happen fast. It never has happened fast. At the Mapleview Church, when I grew up, the coverings got smaller. The dresses got tighter. And now they're wearing shorts. They're not wearing any more veilings. But seemingly they're going out in the mission field and they're doing things. They're going to church. They're religious. And I'm not saying that because of these things, they're going to hell. But the Bible teaches against these things. I'm not the final judge, and none of us are the final judge. God is the final judge. But the Bible does the signs of the times that we're living in. You know, in Chronicles, it says that the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what to do, to know what Israel ought to do. They had discernment. In Matthew 16:3, you know, maybe I should turn to Jesus says about the signs. You know the signs of the weather, you know the times, but you don't know the times you're living in. You don't know the signs of the times, you know, and the weather. I used to be a dairy farmer and was out watching the weather continuously, almost 24 hours a day. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. Yesterday there was no clouds in the sky, and this is a leap year, so usually my weather predictions didn't work. But all I'm saying is we used to really watch the weather, and I learned from many years ago on how to watch the weather. I remember my neighbor coming and speaking to my father, and they were talking about the weather, and I didn't have time to talk back then. I had lots more energy, and they were talking about the weather, and I was ready to bale hay, and I thought, well, there's lots of time yet. There's no clouds in the sky. And they said, well, that means that it's going to rain in a couple days. And sure enough, it did. And you watch things, and you see from what you've watched to see if it's true. And the older you get, the more you can see what you've watched, if it's true or not, and how people react to when you speak of ungodliness and worldliness. I looked up in the dictionary what worldliness is, and it's amazing what it said, because it's maybe not what I thought it would say, but if I brought the sheet of paper with me now. It's like I said, I have lots of sheets here. And maybe I don't have that with me. Because I had a few things written down. Yes, here it is. First, I should say that the scripture talks about wickedness, that men are going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, into a license to sin. And worldliness is an attitude of the heart. And appreciate what you shared there, Edward. When the fear of the Lord is, when people lose the fear of God, they immediately redefine sin. And that is so true in the day and age we're living in. We are living in a day and age when you can have an abortion and you can still go to the church somewhere here. Where on your graph here, where in your mind, where's the benchmark for you? Where do you think the church goes from the spirit-filled church to the social club? Where do you think that happens? It happens somewhere. It's happened around us. It's happened in history. And it can happen here. It can happen here. It has happened in many churches that they thought it would never happen. It really has. I could name churches this morning. But let me turn to some. I was going to read this. No, I got off of Matthew here. If we look in Matthew, it says, "In the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. And ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times." And that's, I believe, the day and age that we're living in today. Very much so. I'm sorry, I'm just not sure which way to take this. Let me turn to Romans. In the book of Romans, I can find it here quickly. Just want to read a verse there. There's a few verses I'd like to read because it brings out what is happening in our day. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And it doesn't start there. That is not where it starts. It never starts there in the church. Satan is real. Satan works on our minds, and he wants us to become used to certain things so that we think they're okay, they're not as bad, they're okay, it's good maybe. And you know, if you think back in the 1800s, they said that when we are brothers and we shake hands and we say we are brothers, that did not just mean that we are Christians. And I think that has changed. That has shifted in our day. It has in my mind anyway, and I didn't realize till I read this. Maybe it hasn't in your mind. When we are brothers, it means, and we shake hands, it means we have the same vision, we're going down the same road. It doesn't mean that I can shake hands with a a Christian rock singer, and that those words are, I hate even saying those words. But they've been fighting those things, the same things that we're looking at today, and we're looking at in our churches, in the churches of Jesus Christ. I think we haven't seen anything of what's going to happen yet. You know, I was of what, and the reason I'm saying that is, as I read in the, we were picking up Hannah, and I read a sign. I read a sign. Sorry, here my notes are, like I said. And the sign said, oh, I need to find it. If you can hang on, hold it for a minute here. Ooh, that's was taught. Oh, here it is. The sign said, this is why I say I don't think we've seen anything of what's going to come yet in the area of movies, and probably not in other areas either. But and I see it probably, and I think it's going to get worse and worse. Seducers, evil men are going to get worse and worse. The Bible says they're even going to rise up from among you. The Bible says that. But the event was, we were sitting down in a restaurant eating, and I looked out, and I was in the parking lot, and I guess I've seen it before. The event was actors and models and talent for Christ is holding auditions. This was in a big sign. So whenever the word Jesus or Christ is on a sign, I like to discern what's happening. I went home, and we went home, and I looked it up on the internet, and I think this happened this past year on August 18th. And it said on there, I just wrote a few things down. Do you have a calling to perform? Do you sing in church but wish you could reach further? It sounds really nice, doesn't it? Can Christians succeed in the entertainment world? Then it said, absolutely. You know, I should maybe pull a $20 bill out or whatever. I don't have my wallet and hold it up beside what I just said. A lot of this is just, they're doing it for money. They're doing it. And maybe some of it are doing it with a real passion and vision and want to reach the lost for the world, lost for Christ. But my question is to you this morning, how many movies have you seen? And I've watched movies, retracting from it more so. How many movies have you seen that don't distort some part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's been very few for me, very few. How many movies do we see that teach doctrine, sound doctrine? The Word of God speaks of preaching the Word, it speaks of teaching the Word. It doesn't really speak of that as a way to teach ourselves. In Wellesley, I was in the gas station, and they had a flyer up, and the flyer said, there's a group singing, and the name of the group, maybe you know the group, I don't know, but the group was No Discernible Key. That was the name of the group, No Discernible Key. So then when the word discern comes up, my eyes open up real wide and wonder what's going on here, and they sing country music, folk music, and gospel music. Where is your line here? Where is your line on modesty, movies, and music? I was at a Jeremy Camp meeting, concert, and he sang the words God's love about 20 times over. And I came to the conclusion, and I could be wrong, maybe he doesn't think this, but in my mind, it seemed, and there's lots of other things I could say about this, but in my mind, it seemed like he was really trying to show off his voice. He didn't sing. By the time the last 10 times he sang it, I couldn't even distinguish those two words anymore. But it's Christian. It's Christian. You know, many people start right. They have the building blocks right. Many people do. Remember when we had those, when I drew a picture of the door up there of Jesus Christ, we enter into that door of Jesus Christ. We enter into that door. And remember we had a Bible study and we spoke of different things that we need, that we have to have to enter into that door. They were things like faith, repentance, brokenness, diligence, things to put on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you put on. They were not independence, individualism, detachism, rebellion. They were not. You can't get into the door of Jesus Christ with those things on your mind. But you know, slowly, as we go onto this graph, slowly, we can lose those things. As you've therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in Him, but there's a battle going on, there's a warfare going on in our minds, a lot more than you might want to think. There's a warfare going on. Jesus loves us, and Satan hates us. Satan knows his time is short, and he is trying to take us away from the from the truth of the Word of God. Here's a word that I came up with. I don't know where I found this a few months ago. The word syncretism is the uncritical, undiscerning, unquestioning of beliefs and practices that are contrary to the Word of God. The mixing of truth and error, religious compromise, mingling of those counterfeit practices and beliefs with authentic biblical Christianity within the church. What Satan uses to bring a biblical sound church into eventual apostasy. A subtle mingling of truth and error. And by the way, if you want to know what truth is, if you want to know what error is, study the Bible. If you want to know what error is, if you want to know how error smells, study the truth, and you will know. It's kind of like I was a dairy farmer, and I go to a dairy farmer now, and oh, it smells, you know, and I can't believe it hardly, but I used to go to town with clean coveralls on that I used to chore with, but they were clean. I thought, no, I can't smell them. But now I can be beside a dairy farm with clean coveralls on, and I can smell them from 5 feet away because I'm not used to the smell. But it's what we get used to, and that's my burden, because we get used to things. We get used to sin. Sin is not as terrible. I appreciated, Leon, what you shared there, the holiness of God. Oh, God, give us repentance is the cry of my heart. I don't know what you're crying, but my heart is for myself. Give me repentance. It's a subtle mingling of this word. It's a subtle mingling of truth and error and worship. If it is not stopped, will lead an error in truth and the preaching and teaching of evangelism. And that's what we have today. We have a man by the name of Joel Osteen that it's okay if you have gays, lesbians, whatever in your church. God loves them. I heard lately of a man that politician in the States, in a certain state, he was a gay and he felt guilty because he cheated on his partner. Where is the commitment in God's eyes? You know, it's amazing how far down the road is sin going to go. And those are extravagant cases. But those cases are coming into certain churches. They won't come into this church. I'm saying this to make a point. They won't come into this church for a long time, I don't hope. But if we go down a road of worldliness, it probably won't even happen in our time, maybe. But it would happen. I predict that. You may disagree with me, and that's fine. But that's how it is happening in these churches in our day. And we are no different. I am flesh and blood. I am no different. And this is why sometimes when I study the Word of God, the Lord needs to bring me back and show me some things where I have failed. It is the mixing of mingling of light and darkness. I should have had some of these verses written down here. A mixing of light and darkness, truth and error. The mixing of it. Of the genuine and the counterfeit in the church. The dictionary says for this word, I looked it up in the World Book Dictionary, syncretism. It's an attempted union of reconciliation of diverse of opposite tenets. Attempted union of diverse opposite tenets. That's exactly what Satan loves. Satan hates to be exposed. He hates that. He wants to come as an angel of light. He wants to come as a ravening wolf in a sheep's clothing. And that word ravening is, you could look it up, and it's translated a few other times in the Bible as extortioners, deceptive. That's exactly what Satan wants to do, or practices, especially the philosophy or religion. I'll have to explain this, but it also says the merging or union of original, different, inflectional categories, usually the result of phonetic change. I'm not even sure I'm saying those words right. I didn't go to school very far, so I gotta look these words up in the dictionary. And the word inflectional means a change in the tone or pitch of the voice. The word phonetic means give a different sound. Now, I always say something doesn't smell right, but here they're saying it doesn't sound right. And certainly, when a church goes from a social club where their heart is far from God, but yet they speak the words what are in the scriptures, God must be terribly grieved at that. I'm sure he is. It must be. I was at a funeral, and there was no witness of the Spirit whatsoever. And I guess it's okay to read a prayer off, but he read his prayers off, and it seemed to me like they were just in the merging of having another pastor. And I'm amazed at what I've seen there. And does that mean I'm saying that they're all wrong with everything? I don't know. God knows all that. But what is your benchmark? What is our benchmark as a church? Where do we come out on the part of modesty? I think maybe I should read something on that. It just comes to my mind now. 2 Peter 3. I think maybe I'll read 1 Timothy 2. These are things that 5 years ago, I never thought that I would read them up here, because there's other things so much more important. But you know, the fruit hangs on the tree. We bear fruit. The inner man, what's in the inner man comes out. In my own life. My own life. Like men are also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. That's what the Bible says here. Now, I'm not sure what your version says, but that's what the King James Version says here. And do we want to follow? Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to follow what the Bible says. My flesh is it's the same. I Lord, be with us. You know, we have many people. I know of people that wear earrings and rings on their fingers. I urge you to think like God thinks and not think like the world thinks. Don't let the world influence you. You know, in Romans it says, don't be squeezed into the mold of this world. And many excuses for doing those things are worldly. They're not of Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ has never seen what's happening today in our world. It's never seen it. In fact, I am appalled. I'm astonished at what I'm seeing, brothers and sisters. I really am. People, how people mix error with darkness and call it okay. And call it, you know, they're giving the Word of God a license to sin. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says here in 1 Peter 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That is what God wants us to work on. Speaking to the women precisely here, but he wants all of us to work on this. He wants us to have a connection with him. He does not want us to show our bodies off in any way. And that which is in the corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And I like that, which is in the sight of God a great price. Do you ever read that anywhere else in the scripture, something? And maybe you did. I don't know if I did. That something is in God's eyes, it's of much value. It's of great value. We know the blood of Jesus Christ is of great value. It clothes us. But this here also, it says here this is of great value, that we would have connection with God, that as we have connection with God, that our inner man would grow and become more like Jesus Christ and less like the world. We can say the social club, we can say the world, we can say the ungodly. But when I say ungodly, I'm not really, it is ungodly, but when we think of ungodly, we think of, well, I was going to say adultery, but that's okay in the social club, in the church, what they call the church, the religion of our day. And I'm saying these things because I know I'm by nature a warner. Please forgive me. I can't help that I am like this. We do not need a message like this every Sunday. I know that. I don't believe we do. I don't want that. But there are times where we do need to hear these things, brothers and sisters. And my heart is I preached many messages this week walking around my pool table. There's much that could be said. I got too many notes here, and I would like to read. I'm going to be closing soon. The World Book, the Dictionary for Worldly, it says, of this world, not of heaven, caring much for the interests and pleasures of this world. Wow, that hits me pretty hard, right between the eyes. I'm no different than you are. You know, I had a brother come to me. I talked about that sign on the church about Jesus parting with sinners. Edward came to me and said, what would you do if we'd put a sign up here? Jesus parted with sinners. And I said, I'd take it down right away. And then Edward, I don't know if I told you this, but after I got thinking about that, Edward, I thought, if, and I'm just using this church as an example. We could use anything, but I'm using this because this is where I am. If we would put a sign up there, Jesus parted with sinners, and I would still be here at that time, I wouldn't leave. I'd be blinded. Because that's why the Apostle Paul said, come out from among them. Do you know that evil company corrupts good morals? And it will do it. I've seen it in my own life, and it will do it in your life. Because the Bible says it. I can say that to you because the Bible says that, not because I'm saying that. Anyways, the word emphasizes pleasures, success, wow, vanity. This is in the World Book Dictionary, and the like of this life, as contrasted with spiritual or religious, they said, but I put the word biblical values in there. Let me read that again. The word worldly emphasizes pleasure, success, vanity, and the like of this life is contrasted with spiritual or biblical values. They enjoy parties, dances, and other worldly pleasures. Some other words for worldly are carnal, earthly, fleshly, temporal, covetousness, greedy, materialistic, selfish. And this is the one that really made me think. It says, worldly-minded, versed in the way of the world. Worldly-minded, versed in the way of the world. That's satanic. Actually, I was going to read something here. I think I'm going to turn. My mind goes to Ephesians chapter 2 here. I'm going to be closing soon, I think. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And Peter says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lusts of men, but to the will of God, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, when they think it's strange. See, there's a difference. They think it's strange that we run not with them, but in the day and age we're living in, you can do it and people don't think it's strange. That is my burden today. My burden is that I would wake up. And if you need to wake up, that you would wake up and allow God to infiltrate his thoughts into your mind. You see, when Satan, he's the word savorist. To see if I can find it here quickly in Matthew. Well, I want to close with Colossians anyway, so I'll turn there, and I think I have it written there. Colossians chapter 3. No, I don't have it written there. It says, set your affections on things above. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. In other words, it is possible to seek the things that are below, and our earthly man, our man that we live in the flesh, is very earthy, extremely earthy, until I'm looking forward to the day when this earthy man can be redeemed, who shall change our vile body, like it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Hallelujah. That'll be the day when there will be no more warfare, no more strife. That'll be a wonderful day. I have to see if I can find my... Where is that where Peter was? Oh, here it is. Matthew 16:23 is what I want. Sorry, I need to read it. I'm not very good at explaining things without reading scriptures. If I can find it here quickly. Matthew 16:23, it says, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. That word savorest really means you're thinking the things, you're not thinking the things of God. You're allowing Satan to influence you. And the word affection and that word savorest is the same Greek word. When I look this word in 1 Corinthians 13:11, the same word is used as understood. The word affections in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, the word affections, the same word in 1 Corinthians 3:11. And when it says, I understood as a child, I understood, I believe it says there, and I thought like a child, I thought, it's like a thinking pattern here. And it's important here that we read these verses very carefully. If you then be risen, seek those things which are above. The Bible says that about being entangled with affairs of this life, it's not a good thing. It doesn't lift it up high to be entangled. There's a balance in the scriptures. The Bible does say, and you read the Bible and it says we are to make a living. The Bible says we are to enjoy the fruits of our labor. But we are not to lift up these things and money as a god, because that's worldly. And you know, I've heard it said, and I don't know maybe if it's true or not, but they say, as I heard this said, that if you can live through prosperity and be victorious, You will have no problem in suffering and adversity and persecution. You know, I've heard it said in Russia, when those walls came down, when there was no longer communism there. I mean, before people went to church and they would do everything to go out to the bush somewhere, out to the woods to worship the Lord. But when communism fell, many of those people, well, I have university to go to. I have other things to attend to that are more important now. We can worship other. It was not as important anymore to get together with the believers. It's amazing. It proves the point that, and we can become. You know, the Bible says that the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and we could become unfruitful. Cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, that's worldly. Loving the things of this world. How much stuff do I need? I'm talking to myself, brothers. You're all looking at me, and that's fine. How much stuff do I need? Yeah, we know. I was talking to a brother about this. We know that the things of this world don't satisfy us. I'm old enough to know, and you are too. Probably even if you're only 16, maybe. I don't know, but I'm old enough to know that you can bought a lot of things in my lifetime, and I'm old enough, and I've got a lot of experience with that. And there's a lot of people that bought a lot more things, and a lot of you have maybe, and that's fine. I'm not here to compare, but. I'm old enough to know, and that they don't satisfy. They might give you a little happiness for a little bit of time, but really the ultimate satisfaction is Jesus Christ. The ultimate satisfaction is thinking like Jesus. And you are never going to think like Jesus if you don't read this book. You can talk about experience. You can talk about a lot of things. We can say it's wrong for abortion. We know that's killing. But if you don't get it out of this book, you're not standing on the solid rock. This book is the solid rock of God. Someday we're going to stand before eternity, be before God in eternity. What is my plight? Where is my plight going to be? I urge you, please, don't cheat the government in any way, if you can help it. Ben and I, We bought this four-wheeler, and the man says, young man says, he wanted to mark down much less than what we paid on the bill so that I don't have to pay so much taxes or whatever it is you pay when you change the license. And I was kind of taken off guard, and I just said, well, I don't know how I said it, but that's dishonest. I can't be dishonest. Oh, but, you know, the government rips us off. So we're okay to rip them off. How are you going to explain that to God when you stand before God? The Bible talks about honesty. The Bible says that liars, where do they go? They go to that pit called hell. And there's a place called that. And the other thing I want to say is these people here, they don't want to talk about hell. In fact, the church that I grew up in, when the word hell was used, it was almost like it was a bad word. You shouldn't say that. The Bible says those that are saved. Well, let's read it in Mark. I think it's in Mark 16. We don't have to apologize for truth. It is only truth that will give Hessen unity. Nothing else will give us unity. They might look like they have unity here. They might look like they have unity. How can you have unity when you don't have the Spirit of God? How can you have unity when you're adultering and abortion and the sins that the Bible lists are no longer, are okay. It's like that the scriptures, yeah, there's places in the scriptures that I should be turning to, I guess, but He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How can we say anything else? That's what the Bible says. And there are churches today that don't want to talk about the wrath of God. And I'm afraid for them. And I'm afraid for us if that's where we're at. I don't think we are at all, but I'm just saying, because the Bible says that these people that don't know God, if they have, even if they have religion mixed, if they're here, and I'm not sure where the cutoff point is, God knows, we don't know, but if that's where they are, the Bible says that they're going to be without mixture, without restraint. God isn't going to restrain terrible torment. And imagine the God that we live in. Imagine eternity. Imagine the world and not eternity, the space, the greatness of God. And when he says he's going to pour out his wrath without mixture, imagine what that means. My mind can't comprehend that, but that's what the Bible says. And you know, if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that's what the Bible says where you're going to go. We don't want that. If you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, God, help us together to seek out that you would get to know the Lord. Truly. In Colossians here it says, set your affections on things above. Set your thinking. Let the things of this world be a facade, but the heavenly things real. I need more of that in my life. We can become so... talking to myself, I can become so involved in the things of this life that the heavenly things become a facade, kind of dim. God help us. That's not the will of God, that a Christian should live that way. It's not the will of God that Christians should live that way. The way we think is extremely important, and what the world is doing around us makes us think certain ways. But praise the Lord, we can get into this book. We have a book. Praise the Lord. There are many people that don't have a book like this in the world, and when they get the book like this in some of these countries, they'll just devour this book. In fact, I'm ashamed of myself. Some of these men, women that have had this book for 4 months know their Bibles better than I do. That doesn't mean much better than I do, because I don't know it very well, but all I'm saying is better than I do, because I've been a Christian for, I don't know, it's going to say 30 years. So let's have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. That's the desire that if we seek Him like hid treasure, He will fill us, says the Bible says. So my desire is that we could love each other with true love. True love is the love of God. True love hates sin. True love hates the world. You know, I started off with, I was going to put modesty music and movies up here, but these people here that I told you at the beginning, they were battling with the same things probably 40 years ago. But you know what? It was at a much different level. And if the world tarries in 10 years, I predict it's going to come to another level, and probably before that. Because we can now carry gadgets around in our pockets that we can see the movies. And I know it all comes down to the heart. It definitely comes down to our hearts. God help us that we would have hearts to follow him, because the day and age we're living in has so many things to take our minds off. Little things, big things. And I fear for the next generation. The Bible says that about these things that are coming into the world are going to take our hearts away from God. And God has that for a reason. God wants that. God wants that to see that. I'm just thinking of a scripture here. It says here, "For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And that's why God is allowing these things. That's why we're in this world. That's why there is so much, but it's going to be a fight. No wonder the Bible says the more we should be getting together more and more as we see the day approaching. No wonder the Bible says that, because we do need each other immensely, I believe. And yes, be careful. Be careful. You know, it says here that, I'm just not sure. It says here that if there arise among you a false prophet or a dreamer or a dreams and giveth thee a sign and a wonder. And then look at what, if the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. And you know, just because they can do signs, somebody can do signs and wonders, the Antichrist is going to do great signs and great wonders. It says he's going to make fire come down from heaven, I believe. There's going to be a lot of things happening in the near future, I think. And he says, let us, but you know, he's going to look so much like Jesus Christ. He's going to look anti-Christ, means instead of Christ and then against Christ. And he's going to come as a man that the world is already probably. I read an article many years ago, and it said that, and I forget the details, but that the world is already looking for that man. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love. That's why God allows these things to happen. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So God be with us. There certainly is a lot of things on these that could be said. You know, in the social club, we have the sand. Here we have the rock. Praise the Lord that we do have the rock. There are those here that have forsaken the living water and have hewn out unto themselves cisterns that hold no water. You know, Jude talks about clouds without water. In Revelations, it talks about the candlestick being removed. When the candlestick's removed, that's a sad day. That's when the Holy Spirit is removed. And these clouds look like the real thing. They look like they should have rain in them. Clouds normally make things grow and make things rain, but if you take the Holy Spirit out of the cloud, people will not grow in Jesus Christ. And it says clouds without water, they're going to look like the real thing. And as it says in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about, I think I mentioned it a little bit, but I should read it. Verse 6. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. It means they're going to cheat you of your reward. Your reward is heaven. Your reward is Jesus Christ. And they're going to be there to devour. As the same word in the Greek is cheating, and extortioner, it's translated, I think, three other times in that Greek word in the King James here, and it's used as extortioners, which means cheating. They're going to cheat you of your reward. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Well, this is Jesus speaking, and it looks to me like he has a pretty black and white. God help us to know this, the author that has written this here, because God wants us to know. God wants us to be able to discern. He wants the church to be able to discern, and together. There's a togetherness in it, because if you read about the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of that he's given to the church as a body, we need each other. We are not alone. We are not individuals in a sense that I can do what I want to do. We are one of a body, one of another. We could go on that. But a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So it looks like the fruits hang on the tree. So there are people that would like to say, and I have grown up in this setting here. In a sense, I'm not sure exactly where I was, where it was at that time, and I still don't know exactly. God only knows. But they would like to say that the inner man of the heart, that's all that matters. Wow. And they are still saying that. Men that I grew up with, my age, their wives are wearing shorts. Is that the vision you have? I was a 22-year-old boy, 23, just converted, and I remember this real vividly, being at a revival meeting, and I don't know what happened or how it happened, but it ended up that a couple of us younger, our young people got talking outside, and it's kind of like the Lord gave me a word to say, and I remember saying to them that I do not want a wife that ever wears shorts. That was my vision when I was 22 years old. You might say, well that's pretty carnal. There's a lot of things that happen to bring you to that place, brothers. I'm just warning you, because there are people that haven't grown up like we have and are, in a sense, in a different place in those things. And I want to leave room where God leaves room. But as a church, as a vision, we must chart a course. We must. If we don't chart, if we don't have a vision together, fathers, if we don't get together as a vision, if we don't get our vision together, we're going to lose out as a church. We really are. As a Spirit-filled church, we might still get together. But that's not what any of us want, I'm sure. And I think all you brothers would say the same thing. None of us want that. You know, they continued, yeah, well, I'm going on here, but let our affections be on things above. Because if they're not, this man is so earthy, this man is so earthy. He will watch movies that he shouldn't watch. Just one thing, I don't want to close like this, but, you know, if movies portray sin as pleasurable, please don't watch it. Please don't. Because if your heart is there, if my heart is there, what does the Bible say in Romans? Sorry, I should know these scriptures all off by heart, but I don't. But Romans says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. But what I wanted, this is the verse, this, the line that not only those that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Even if we don't do it, but our heart is there, God help us, that we would truly hate sin. I would truly hate sin more and more. and love righteousness more and more. Righteousness, the righteousness of God, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the beginning of wisdom is hating the sin and loving righteousness. So let's set our affections on things above. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on the things above and not on things in the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And there's one more verse that I want to read here, if I can find it quickly. If I can find it. Maybe I can't find it. It says, here it is. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's Apostle Paul speaking, and I'm sure that he probably isn't speaking of what I was talking about this morning. And you can, he was, whatever the yoke of bondage, whatever it is that takes our hearts away from God. And I'm getting to appreciate this book here more and more. It doesn't seem like a book. I was at a jailhouse and took this book along, which they call a book. He said, you may take that book with you. And I walked out to the car and I thought, this is a book, I guess, but it seems like the Word of God. So let's read the Word of God and let's exhort each other while today is still the day of salvation. Let's exhort each other in the ways of looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that I'm ever going to make it. And this world wants to take my heart away from God. There's not much good in this world, sad to say. And it'd be a wonderful day when the Lord will come and redeem these bodies. And I praise the Lord that He's redeemed my spirit and redeemed your spirit, I trust, and that you are living and walking with God. And let us be convinced that God is on the throne, regardless what happens in this world. God is on the throne. And it's easy for us to say that. It's easy for us to say, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It's easy for us to say that. If we were persecuted, what would we say then? What would I say? It's easy to say that when things go well in our life. But I appreciate, I don't know, what Joyce said the other night about growing the roots in our life. And that's very true. When things don't go well in our life, that's when God is growing roots for us so that, because we need, the roots in a tree are much deeper. There's much more root mass than there is what we see. And that's the way the Lord wants it in our life. So, Lord bless.